This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
It's Ida Hobbit Day, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia.
I think we're going to do a test, aren't we? You're going to test I'm doing a gay test.
We're going to do a test. What's the acronym that we all use? Do you know the acronym? I'm going to test you, Tom.
Oh, so you've got to know whether I know it all.
I'm going to test whether you know it all. What's the acronym?
What, the LGBTIQ plus?
Is it plus?
Well, don't we have to put the pluses in?
I'm not sure
who a plus is.
We're going to talk.
I mean, I'm happy to have plus one. Is that what it means?
Okay, what does the L mean?
I'd have to be lesbian, wouldn't it?
Lesbian? Bing. And what's a lesbian?
It's when a girl likes a girl.
What's the G?
G. Gorillas? No, get gays, aren't they?
B?
I want to be rude. I can't. Don't make me test me on things. You know my mind goes straight to filth. B, what are we doing? Bisexual. I mean, I'll buy sex. Is that what it's talking about?
Yes. No.
I'm trisexual. I'll try anything
bisexual,
once.
Bisexual, a person who is romantically and sexually attracted to individuals of their own gender and other genders.
Oh, cool.
What's...
Which is just another word for greedy, isn't it?
Yeah. What? T.
Oh, that'd have to be the trans community.
Yes, that's right.
Which today is a very important day for the trans because, I mean, we've been lucky enough, you know, as gay men to be given right to marriage and there's, you know, other laws that protect us in work. But these poor trans people are being pushed around a bit at the moment.
Absolutely. And there's often a bit of confusion around the word trans. What do you reckon it means? Can I test you that on you?
What is that, someone transitioning?
This refers to a person whose gender identity, gender expression or behaviour does not align with their sex assigned at birth.
Okay.
Because we're assigned male or female. Yeah, so trans does not align. What's the next thing?
What does my sign say on the back? Do you mean a sign on my back?
Do you have a sign? Yeah. You've got a sign. What about I?
I. Are they intersex?
Yes, being. Oh, you know more than me.
Well, you've got to know. So that means
you've got to know this stuff, don't you? But I don't reckon we get educated enough on this.
No, you don't, because we go and flash it all around. But who's to tell me the rules?
Exactly. So intersex refers to the diversity of physical characteristics between the stereotypical male and female characteristics.
Does that mean they've got a PP and a...
Intersex people have reproductive organs, chromosomes and other physical sex characteristics that are neither wholly female nor wholly male.
I can't believe I'm learning so much a quarter to seven in the morning. This is
you
not
are.
Right.
So it's a description of biological diversity and may or may not be the identity used by an intersex
I'm
person.
I'm killing this. I'm up to an A+, aren't I?
And then we've got Q on the end.
Well, is that for people that are questioning?
Well, maybe. It's queer, which is an umbrella term used by some people to describe non-conforming gender identities and sexual orientation.
So that's good. I like the word queer. Why don't we just go back and we're all queer?
And
you're queer, I'm queer.
And someone said there was an A on the end.
Oh, yeah, LGBTIQA plus, I don't know. Yeah,
A for allies, I think it was.
Oh, no, I thought it was asexual.
So there you go.
So basically we should just call it human.
I reckon that...
Because we've covered ourselves into everything.
Yeah. I reckon that...
Do you like people? Welcome. Yeah, welcome to the Ida Hobbit Day. Yeah.
Welcome to Ida Hobbit Day. I'm glad we unpacked that whole acronym.
Yeah, but we've just been told we were wrong. There's meant to be two A's in there, wasn't there?
No, three, I think.
Asexual. What was the other one?
Allies.
Allied. Androgynous.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So there's more.
I'm confused. I really am.
By the end of the show, we'll know everything. We'll be experts. Joining us in the studio is leader of the Reason Party, member of the Victorian Legislative Council, the upper house for the Northern Metropolitan Region, Fiona Patten.
Since they took $284 million away from the ABC, where else do you get your news from? Well, I follow two people, Pauline Pantsdown and Fiona Patten. Welcome to the studio, Fiona.
Thank you.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Fiona, we see that 75% of LGBTIQ youth experience some form of discrimination. Mm. 61% experience verbal abuse. 19% experience physical bullying. So on one hand, we've achieved marriage equality, yet on the other hand, we've got statistics like this. What do you make of that?
I know. It's, you know, we've got a long way to go, babe. And... not to get too political too early in the morning, but I'm up at Parliament at the moment going through the budget, and we were interviewing the Education Minister yesterday. The shadow opposition education spokesperson spent the whole time talking about safe schools.
They've got a real problem about that.
They are obsessed.
They are obsessed, and it seems to be getting worse. I mean, now we've got the mummy blogger wanting to join.
I think she's joined. I think they've, you know, welcomed her with open arms.
So it's like this religion is sneaking through the back of politics, and we're going to this whole Americanism where we think we're moving forward. We're becoming a more ingrained society who's accepting and loving. We're going backwards.
Well, I'm afraid that, you know, in some areas we could go backwards because those figures are so frightening and they're so sad. And you're right, we got marriage equality. How can this still be happening to our young people? So things like safe schools are so important to start changing that culture. And, you know, I do feel it's getting better, and I do feel like people are able to, you know, be open about their sexuality more than they were 10 years ago. But, you know,
there's some more statistics, and I won't bore you all with it, but quickly, just 24.4% of lesbian, gay, bisexual people experience depression, so almost a quarter. Mm. 36% of trans Australians experience depression, but the general population are 6.8%.
I know.
So that's huge.
Yeah. Yep. And that will be to do with the stigma and the discrimination that they experience in our society still. And, you know, we've changed a lot of laws, but we still need to change more to bring real equality for our whole rainbow community. And that will help there. And, geez, I just thinking about those figures and the cost of depression in our society.
It's huge.
It would be a money saver if we treated people more nicely.
Absolutely. And do you reckon that, like, politics is, it's still a boys' club, isn't it?
Largely. There's quite a few of us women in there now, but, yeah, overall it's men.
So do you think they're starting to change and deal with diversity more?
On the Monday, as interesting as the budget discussion is, I was counting ties, and there was, around the table, there was 9 blue ties and 2 red ties. Now, yesterday, there was a purple tie, there was a pink tie, so maybe we are seeing some diversity.
But
in all seriousness, I think, you know, we are getting a greater respect. Parliament's got gender-neutral toilets. That's probably because there was only men in the building for the first 100 years, so they didn't have female toilets. But regardless, we are getting a lot more gender-neutral bathrooms, which is a start.
But it's when the community starts doing that we actually start sharing the same toilet, or we have an AFL player that's finally going to come out.
Yes.
That's when we're going to get change. I mean, we've got change now in legislation. We do have great people like yourself in our parliament who do fight for the rights of the underprivileged or for everybody is what you should be doing.
Well, I fight for equality. Everyone should be treated equally.
Well, correct. Yeah.
Maybe me a bit more special, but, you know.
Well,
apart from us.
We've got we were talking about our acronym this morning, Tom and I, and we were going through, you know, the definition of LGBTIQ. Mm. And, you know, we all want to belong. It's natural for humans to want to belong. But, you know, I'm going to be controversial here. I don't like the acronym. I think it's quite exclusive. So, you know, there's parts that, you know, what about
unless
asexual?
You can fit into a little box.
Yeah, let's give ourselves a label. You know, there's this rigid sort of definition. You're either fitting into LGBTIQ, but there's asexual people. There's, you know, there's pansexual people, or, you know, what about, and dare I say it, what about H for heterosexual? Because if we put everyone in this acronym, we could just have a P for people. And then if we're all the same, then there's no one different who can be bullied.
Mm. I suspect we are, you know, it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And we're all shades of something. Yeah, I like to call it the rainbow community only because I get all tongue twisted sometimes when I'm early in the morning trying to go through all of the letters. But yeah, I talk rainbow community and I do think it's hard, and I concur. I think there is some exclusivity when people don't feel like they're in the alphabet.
I know today we are talking about Ida Hobbit Day, you know, about getting rid of hate, and we're all going to make sure we call it out. It's no use saying it's out there. When we see it happening, we've got to be able to be the tough ones and pull it out.
Yeah.
But I would like to congratulate you following through. It's a 2-year anniversary for you passing one of your first legislations, which was very important, which was about hate. And safe access.
Mm.
Yeah, it was very important. So congratulations. You actually are doing something in Parliament, which is nice to see.
Thank you. Yes, I was at a talk last night, and I was saying to them that I've put up 3 private members' bills, and they've all been successful, but none of them have my name on it. So I started the safe access bill, but the government
of course
put their name on it. Uber, government, and supervised injecting centre, government. But yeah, I'm really proud of that one. And it's being challenged in the High Court. But generally speaking, women and their families who go to clinics in Victoria now are not harassed, are not proselytised to, and are not generally given a hard time, which is a great thing.
Which is, it's one of the hardest times of your life. If you're going to be making that decision, we don't take that lightly.
Yep.
You have the right for safety.
That's right.
Be able to walk in there. That's the last thing you need.
That's right.
Well done. And I can see you're doing plenty of others, talking about wanting to move the sex industry around. I mean, put it back into underground again. So let's send it to criminal organisations. Isn't this the guy that he goes and has lobster with for dinner, allegedly? You know, so we're going to put that back into...
I know. And look, I don't want this morning to be sort of Liberal Party bashing, but, you know, when they become obsessed with safe schools, when they're talking to an education minister, when you think they'd be talking about, I don't know, schools.
Education.
Absolutely. Education.
Yeah.
The new economy and all this other stuff that's going on in the rest of the world, but we're stuck on the...
That's right.
Stuck, and like a record.
And then to pass a policy that called the Nordic model, which is really about closing down the legal sex industry in Victoria, that has been in operation since 1986 legally. And they're going to try and close it down. I'd like them all to put their hands up and say who's been a client of a brothel as they vote on it.
That sounds fantastic. And we need the video evidence to,
that's
to
right,
pull it up. Know. Can we put it on the screen up behind them?
Or even if the Liberal Party could do a straw poll and say how many of our members will this affect? How many of our members are clients? I was in my inaugural speech, I said I may be the first sex worker who has been elected into this house, but there's certainly been a lot of clients before me.
Absolutely.
Way met.
On other matters, I didn't realise that of all registered charities in Australia, 37.4% report advancement of religion as their charitable purpose.
I know, right?
And how's
that? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean? like sweep everything under the
category. There's the Gideon Bible in your hotel room. I mean, I can see that's advancing a religion, but, well, actually, I use it for other things.
Me too.
Yeah.
But you debated last Wednesday, was it the Charities Amendment Bill?
Yes.
How did that go?
Well, I was very keen on it, but I was standing fairly solitary up there. No, certainly, no, the Greens supported the notion as well. Now, what does advancement of religion mean? And how does making a breakfast cereal advance religion?
And to not pay any tax on that.
And then you are exempt. You get all of these remarkable exemptions from all sorts of tax, both state and federal. But also, importantly, you're exempt from the Discrimination Act. So on Idaho Day, so 37% of those charities who say advancing religion is their reason for being, they can discriminate against all of us on the grounds of our sexuality, our gender, whatever.
Something has to be done. It really does.
It does.
And I have nothing against churches, religion. I think if that can give you solace and understanding and acceptance, I'm all for religion. You find happiness wherever you can.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean you have the right then to discriminate against, not pay any tax, but still
take a high moral ground.
I thought they could claim tax for things like feeding the homeless and that, but
that's right. And I think for most of us, our general idea of charity is helping others. So when over a third of them say, oh, well, we're not really helping anyone, but we're advancing religion, I think that's time to question that. And I'm starting the conversation.
Fantastic. Fiona Patton, thanks for coming in. And
thanks so much.
Chatting to you. We'll chat to you next time. It's International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Intersexism and Transphobia, better known as Ida Hobbit Day.
It's where we hide the hobbit.
And Victoria Police are launching a new report that reveals how police and young LGBTI people perceive each other. And joining us on the line is Priority Communities Division Commander Stuart Bates. And good morning, Stuart.
Good morning.
Stuart, what is the Priority Community Division?
Oh, so it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But the goal of the division is just to make sure that Victoria Police are connected to the community they serve and are listening and valuing the different points of view and what the community want from us as a police force.
And you're launching this new report today. What's the report found?
Well, it's a really interesting report for us. So I think the key issues is that we've still got some work to do, especially for young people. You know, it'd be be, it was really clear in the report that being recognised, acknowledged and valued as either same-sex attracted or sex and gender diverse was vital to their sense of self-worth and they're willing to engage with us as police and report crimes. And that's where we perhaps have not done as well as we could, because when we spoke to the police, it found that the police, a lot of police only had limited knowledge and certainly not the confidence to talk to young people who were gender diverse and same-sex attracted. We've made a lot of traction in lots of ways, but we've still got a way to go.
What do you think are the main barriers to reporting the you know, prejudice-motivated crime?
Well, that I can tell you what the report found in terms of young people, that they have either had a direct experience with police themselves or have got their opinions from the wider population, and a lot of them didn't trust us to keep their confidence, and certainly didn't think that reporting hate crimes was actually going to stop them. So that's the kind of targeted approach that we need to take to build that confidence, because it's so vitally important that we know where these things are happening so we can increase our patrols and keep people safe and free from this type of vilification and discrimination.
I wanted to ask a question about, do you think that the cop from the village people has done a lot to promote the police within the LGBTI community?
Really old now. How old would he be?
Well, we're not going into age here. If you've been listening, I'm turning 50 soon and we're not talking about that. But I just wanted to know, I think, you know, the village people, it's done a lot to help the police and, you know, we all dance, eh?
Yeah. Well, that's true. But I tell you what has done a great deal is our GLOW network. So we have around 250 frontline officers across the state just to help our members of to really connect with the LGBTI communities and offer a much more friendly targeted service. So we're growing that network and we're providing greater resources for them to have the confidence. So I think GLOW and the ability to interact and talk to the community is really important for building trust, and that I think is making a difference.
Definitely is. And you, I mean, you know, here in Joy, we're how happy we are with Gabby and GLOW and the whole thing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And Gabby's a shining example and really leads from the front. But, those 250 officers behind her are also crucially important.
Stuart, who do we call if we've got an issue? Like, do we call a GLOW or do we call 000?
Well, I guess first and foremost, it depends on what's happening. So if you feel in danger right then and there, then you must call 000, because that goes straight through to our police on the road and they're in the best position to respond immediately. If it's an ongoing chronic issue, perhaps not happening right there, then absolutely you can approach a GLOW for an outcome. So it might be that you're particularly worried about the increase of homophobic comments or discriminatory comments in a particular area. That's to be something that you take up with your local GLOW, because we may be able to increase our patrols when those troublesome times arise. Because for me, that's about cutting off the crimes before they happen. If we've got some problem areas, then we've got to get in and try and fix it.
Now, I mean, you guys are doing a great job. You know, as you say, GLOW, it's really getting out there into the community as well as to the police force itself. But what about our senior policemen? I mean, are they walking the walk, or is it still what we thought was a boys' club? Is it changing in the top?
Well, I'm really pleased to say we've just formed for the first time a Pride network within Victoria Police. So that's an internal network for police officers who can show their pride of being part of the community. So we've got very senior police involved in that, even an assistant commissioner, Neil Patterson. So we I think, are really starting to do that work, and we've got to see that happen at local stations, and we are. But once again, we know from this report that we've still got a bit of way to go to build the trust with especially young people from the LGBTI community.
There's a flag raising happening today with the police at like 10 past nine, did I read on your Facebook?
Yeah, well, we do. We have flag raising at the Victoria Police Centre and at 313 Spencer Street, and we've got events going all over the state. I'm attending one at the Footscray Police Station at 1 o'clock. So, yeah, we're really celebrating Ida Hobbit Day.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for the wonderful work you guys do, and our community wouldn't be the same without you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye.
Stuart. that's it for us.
I can't believe, where does the day go on our International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia?
And everything, Ida Hobbit Day. There's actually, if you head to idahobbit.org.au, there's a really good inclusive language guide if you are confused.
And there's a lot happening today. I know my hubby's work's got a little morning tea happening. It's like all the businesses, we really are embracing it.
Absolutely.
So today is a day of action. So we must all be seen out there, and including the allies, calling out any homophobia, transphobia, biphobia.
Any phobia.
Yeah, unless it's spiders, because we hate them. Squash them.
Don't forget, we'd love you to like us on Facebook. Search for Tom and Warren on Joy. You can always tweet us at Tom and Warren, or you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And or Instagram.
Or Instagram.
Andy made Instagram.
Oh, wow. Yeah. We're on Instagram.
Porn's coming next.
There might be some pics up there from today.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.